Great. Okay. Our speaker, Jim, will now share his experience, strength, and hope for 20 minutes on our lack of power. Is it all right? I guess it's okay. We record you, okay? Because I already started the recording. Go ahead, Jim.
Thanks, Sandy. And thanks, Judith, for asking me to be here today. Let's start with a brief set-aside prayer. God, please help me set aside everything I think I know for an open mind and a new experience. Help me to see the truth about myself, my disease, my recovery, and especially you. Okay, so kind of funny thing. I actually was asked to share a few days ago in another meeting, and I was asked to share on the, so I have 20 minutes, is that right? I'm just gonna time myself here. Okay. I was asked to share on the foreword of the big book, and you know, and then I as I was sort of thinking about it and reading through it and getting ready, I was like, why did I agree to do the foreword? So this is not, that's not like the most inspiring part of the big book for me. And then I realized I was asked to speak at this meeting and there was no topic. And then I was sort of like, maybe I'll just talk about the foreword. There's so much, I mean, to just dive into the book and pick something to talk about and there, when there's so much. And just a bit of a disclaimer, I'm not a big book scholar. BBA has really changed my spiritual life, and I'm really grateful for that. And I love BBA. I don't know. I think my experience is a little bit different than what I hear from the majority of people in BBA. And so I kind of feel like what I can share and, you know, what value I can provide in sharing is my own experience, and to be authentic. And so that's just my disclaimer, you know, like Dan Sherman did not approve of this talk today, I guess is what I might say. Anyways, so yeah, I chose just one of my favorite passages from the book that I always feel is so helpful for me. And this is starting on page 44 of We Agnostics. If a mere code of morals or a better philosophy of life were sufficient to overcome alcoholism, many of us would have recovered long ago. But we found that such codes and philosophies did not save us, no matter how much we tried. We could wish to be moral, we could wish to be philosophically comforted. In fact, we could will these things with all our might, but the needed power wasn't there. Our human resources, as marshaled by the will, were not sufficient. They failed utterly. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves. Obviously, but where and how were we to find this power? Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object is to enable me to find a power greater than myself, which will solve my problem. Okay. So, a mere code of morals or a better philosophy of life. So that to me is essentially my ego. You know, my my morals and my philosophy, that's my thinking. Those are my beliefs. That's essentially who I think that I am, conventionally. And my experience is that that is not sufficient for me to overcome alcoholism. And when I say alcoholism, the kind of physical manifestation of my disease is marijuana addiction. That was my go-to substance. But then, you know, there's just the spiritual malady, and that is, to me, completely separate from my physical addiction, and even the mental obsession. Like I kind of see the spiritual malady as it's a component of that, but you know, stopping using our substances of choice or substances of preference, which is probably a better term, only really for me highlights my spiritual malady. Because when I take away those substances which kind of numbed me out or made me, you know, push my problems to the side, I'm left with this dissatisfaction about life and all of my dysfunctional, I can't remember the exact right term, you know, just my beliefs about myself and the world that don't work and that don't make me happy and that make me feel separate from other people. And that, I think, is my spiritual malady. That's how I define my spiritual malady. It's essentially it's the person who I think I am that is really the problem, because of the way that I define myself as, you know, essentially the person who I think I am is essentially me from the neck up, because that's where all my problems lie, you know. It's my thinking, it's my beliefs, it's my fears, it's my ego. And so, you know, for me, a power greater than myself can be so many things. But it's not my thinking, you know, and that's where I have to adjust. And for me, what has been really helpful, you know, what has been key in my spiritual development is Buddhist meditation. I've been practicing Buddhist meditation for 30 years. And it's interesting because very early on in my meditation practice, I had a spiritual experience where I just felt connected to everything and everyone, and there was no separation. And, you know, I thought like, oh, I found it. This is it. Now all my problems are solved. And then I spent the next like 15, 20 years kind of chasing that feeling, wanting, you know, thinking that that was where I had to get back to in order to feel like I was spiritually connected. And, you know, I was just looking in the wrong place, because the only way for me to be really spiritually connected is in the present moment with whatever is going on right now, not some ideal of some peak experience, which is, you know, it did fuel my meditation practice for a long time. And it's still something that inspires me, I think, but I'm not sure I can ever really get back to that purity of experience. So it's, you know, it's just a memory for me. Anyways, you know, I just love this part. We could wish to be moral. We could wish to be philosophically comforted. In fact, we could will these things with all our might, but the needed power wasn't there. You know, I'm always trying to be a good person. I'm trying to be less judgmental. I'm trying to be kind to myself and other people. I've studied, I actually trained to be a teacher of mindful self-compassion, which is a beautiful practice. I lived in a Zen monastery for 2.5 years and lived in a Zen center for 8 years altogether. You know, I've wished and tried to make myself be the person that I want to be. And it just hasn't worked. because it was me doing the driving, you know, and it was, you know, I love it when some people refer to like their higher power as their GPS, you know, like I'm never willing to turn my, my directions over to someone else. I wouldn't say never. It's challenging for me to just like let my higher power be my GPS without my needing to tinker with it and make sure that my needs are going to get met in this situation. And you know, again, that's my thinking. You know, my thinking is that I'm not going to be taken care of, that I can't trust life. I can't trust my higher power, you know, if I think about it. And so I've had to kind of find a way to do that without thinking about it. And for me, meditation has been largely that that vehicle, because meditation for me is a process where I am able to move my energy, or let my energy move. I'm not moving it, but from my head into my body and into my heart. And you know, which is a lot like doing service, right? You know, we're moving our energy into our heart, out of our head. And that's when I feel connected to my higher power. And that's when I, you know, when I'm not trying to run the show, when I'm letting life run the show. And again, that's just a challenging thing for me to do without some kind of practice. And I recently have been doing a practice called Insight Dialogue. And that doesn't work with with my blurry background. Anyway, Insight Dialogue, it's a interpersonal meditation practice where you actually do meditation with another person. And there's usually a prompt of one kind or another. And then we sink down into our own experience. And like, I would have generally like 5 minutes to share from my perspective. But the first guideline of Insight Dialogue is pause. And I think that that's so beautiful because, you know, usually when I'm talking to another person, I'm very busy constructing my arguments, thinking about looking good, wanting this person to agree with me. You know, it's all about ego. And there's also just this kind of energy of maybe like defense, protecting myself, like not wanting the other person to see what's behind the curtain, you know, like my insecurity, my uncertainty, my not knowing. And, you know, so essentially I'm trying to hide who I really am a lot of the time. And so the pause, speaking of which, is just an opportunity to sink back into my own experience of what's happening right now. And that to me is a power greater than myself. Which, you know, sometimes I just say is reality. The way things really are is a power greater than the way I think things are. But of course, I'm in love with the way I think things are, even though it creates so much suffering in my life. I'm still addicted, essentially addicted to those beliefs. And then the other thing that I've found really helpful recently in terms of connecting with a power greater than myself is two-way prayer. I know that's not technically a part of BBA, although I think it's sort of becoming kind of an appendix to the BBA workbook. So many people in this program are practicing two-way prayer. And for me, that's also just an opportunity to step outside of my way of thinking about things and to channel some deeper wisdom that guides me in the direction that I always feel is what my higher power wants me to believe, to think. And so I've been practicing two-way prayer on and off for over a year. And sometimes off, though, sometimes I get away from it. And usually that's when I'm sort of off the beam spiritually. Because I really feel like I need that message from my higher power at least once a day. But really all through the day. And that's the trick. And that's what the pause is about for me. Stopping the kind of flow of who I am, who I think I am, and letting my higher power come in. And I just want to, I don't know where the time goes, but I just wanted to close with reading my two-way prayer from this morning. Just as an example. So I wrote, "Dear God, I'm about to speak at this meeting and I'm feeling nervous and unsure of what I want to say." And my higher power's response was, "Nervousness, my dear son, nervousness isn't a problem unless you resist it. It's energy, it's life, and it's real. Why not try trusting your experiences? Be authentic. Trust in me. Don't try to impress. That rarely works. And even if it does, only serves to strengthen your ego, which is not the solution. Maybe better to fall apart in front of everyone if that's what's authentic. Trust me and I will carry you through because I love you totally and unconditionally. And always, especially when you're having trouble loving yourself. So, you know, it's, where does that message come from? I really don't know. You know, is it God speaking to me? It certainly is a power greater than myself, because my own rational thinking doesn't come up with these thoughts. That's, you know, and so I have to connect to this source that nourishes me in this way, in order for me to really live a spiritual life, which I believe really starts with me loving myself. And that's not easy for me to do. So, I believe that is my time. I was so worried about, you know, how do I fill 20 minutes? And now I need another 20 minutes, but be better to hear from you guys. So thanks for listening. And I hope this was helpful for some of you.